before our first real snowstorm of the year. 1-3, right?
Hold on.
Kids are all going to school tomorrow, and will they go late? Christmas is starting. It's a beautiful time of the year when we start to know the song we're singing so well. It's beautiful. I have a few announcements. I know that Dawn has collected money for our poinsettias, so we'll be collecting them. I think this is the last week that you can actually get in your gift or donation for your poinsettia, and you get to bring it home later. We're still signing up for the cantata. So we actually like, come on, you guys can sing. You got to have a song going between, you know. They don't have to be good. Ruth didn't say anything about sounding good. So, you know, we can try some different things here. I was trying to get the DC class to have Jessica teach them how to do the, you know, that would be good, you know, but that didn't go over. Kenny isn't here today. Apparently he is sick. So John will be running the quarterly, which will be at 11:30. So keep that in mind. And just for anyone who's coming for Yulita, we do need someone, a family, to step up and take control of the breakfast. No one has signed up for that yet. So.
Or we won't have it,
we said. So there. So, does anyone else have anything else they would like to? Mary, please.
Next Sunday is our Christmas program, and we have a potluck after. And all of the planned items are pretty well taken care of. So if you have not signed up for anything and want to bring something, bring whatever you would like, and it will be most appreciated. Thank you.
And that will be next week after church?
Yep, right after the morning worship service.
So right after our morning worship service, we will be having a private baptism. The family is going to have a baptism here. So after church, if you kind of ease your way downstairs, there will be food and drink down there. So there's something to shoot for. So does anyone else have anything else to add this morning?
I do.
Please.
I just want to say a public thank you to the person who anonymously sent me a card this week. There was a gift card to a grocery store in there. And I'm guessing it was someone from church because it was for Adams here in town. And I don't live in Thomaston. But I just wanted to acknowledge that I got it and to say thank you to whoever did that.
That is great. Thank you for stepping up and saying that. Let us please now stand for Introit 141 in our blue hymnal.
Light glowing from our Advent wreath is burning brighter. This radiance warms our hearts and fills us with joy. The Lord has done great things for us. Let us rejoice.
May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. Three candles, see them go brightly, so that all may know how three candles show the way, making our darkness bright as God's day.
Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. Join us in the response.
God, carry many burdens and worry over many things. Help us to hear your promise in this Advent season, that in hearing we may receive the Spirit's gift of joy, and may our spirits be kept sound at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Blessed Father, good morning. Christmas will be coming here shortly, and most of us are not ready. Help us to slow down. Help us to realize those around us, how we can be a gift to them through you. Help us to expect the Spirit that was in Jesus to make a difference in our world. When we don't listen, when we don't allow the Spirit to breathe in us, to make a difference in us, help us to pause. Help us to slow down, Lord. We praise you this morning. You bless us with this worship time together. Father God, we give this day to you. We give this week to you. We give the next 2 weeks to you, Father. Help us, guide us, and be with us. Father God, redirect us in the directions you want us to go. Help us as disciples of Christ that we may be the Spirit and show others your love. We lift up this day to you. We praise you and thank you. And we ask for your guidance and your protection, Father. And it is in your Son's name that we join together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading this morning is found in Isaiah chapter 35. You'll find that on page 578 in the Pew Bible. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The gospel reading this morning is in Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 11. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Across the earth, send the shadows to fly.
Dear Heavenly Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to your word this wonderful season of Advent, that we might hear your truth and prepare anew to receive your Son into our lives. Kindle in us a deepened faith and give us the courage to turn from those things that hinder us from embracing your kingdom in honesty and truth. This we ask in Christ's holy name. Amen. Can't believe that it is already the third week of Advent. Christmas is just 2 weeks away. It never fails. I always have such high expectations this time of year. I want to get all my cards out early, and I want to get all my Christmas shopping done early, and I always buy all these Advent devotionals that I'm going to read every day. I don't do any of that. I mean, it seems simple, yet I always find a way of letting life get in the way. I do have my Christmas decorations out, though. That's only because I never put them away from last year. There are the fake poinsettias all over my house, and they've been there all year, so I even try to water them sometimes, which is kind of sad. Sometimes it's hard to keep our minds on the true reason for the season. Dr. Richard D. Campbell, in his book, I Did It My Way, Signed God, began his commentary on our gospel lesson this morning with the following illustration. The impact of the preacher, who was the forerunner of Jesus, was more like that of the great Puritan divine Jonathan Edwards. Reverend Edwards preached with such vivid forcefulness about the judgment awaiting sinners that he often had people begging him to please stop preaching. In his most famous sermon, Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God, he terrorizes people with the picture of themselves suspended over the fires of hell in the hands of an angry God who might, at any moment, let them go. To cite a more humorous example, John the Baptist might have been more of had the effect on people that the great Green Bay Packer head football coach Vince Lombardi had on his. One of his players wrote in a book that when you were summoned to Coach Lombardi's office and he told you to take a chair, you just sat down, whether there was a chair or not. He was so intimidating that you just sat down. I mean, these are full-grown athletic men, and they just did what they were told. To be sure, John the Baptist is pictured kind of an intimidating figure. Aside from his rugged appearance and his more rugged diet, he preached in a style anything but gentle. Can you imagine me standing here, stepping to the pulpit week after week and screaming, "You brood of vipers, you poisonous snakes, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Listen to me. The axe is lying at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." Somehow I can't imagine myself doing that. He did it for hours. Jonathan Edwards, I did it for a minute and I'm done. And if I couldn't imagine going over well, and we Covenanters are a little too refined to appreciate such rugged, blatant talk, especially when it's aimed at us. And yet the gospel tells us that the crowds came to hear John preach, and they came to be baptized by him. And they weren't the only people in Israel who flocked to hear John. Soldiers actually came to be baptized. So why is it that the people traveled out of their cities, in their towns, to go and hear John preach down at that dirty, muddy Jordan River? The Baptist, apparently, he paid no attention to who people were. There was no partiality to anyone in his call to repentance, including Herod, whom John had rebuked because of his relationship with Herodias, his brother's wife. And of course, this was the one time where John probably should have shut his mouth or kept his mouth quiet, because Herod had him imprisoned and Herodias later had him killed. But John spoke the truth, even when it was not politically correct.
even when the truth costs him his life. John's message had a tone of urgency about it, to be sure. He wanted those who heard him to not delay, to turn away from those things that hindered them in their relationship with God, because God was about to accomplish their salvation. Unlike Jonathan Edwards, who portrayed God as being angry and holding people over the fires of hell, John called us to repent because we are about to behold the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And unlike Vince Lombardi, whose players were so intimidated, they simply, by being in his presence, John humbles himself before the people. And their questioning about whether John might be the Messiah, he stated, "I am not even worthy to untie the thong of his sandals." Today is a continuation of what we heard last week's sermon, where we found John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. In today's text, the times and circumstances, though, have changed. We're told that John's in prison, unknowingly also near the end of his life. And because John's in prison, no longer was he among the people. Because John was in prison, no longer did the crowds come to him that they may be baptized. No longer could John openly and freely preach to the crowds, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." So it's no wonder that we hear John asking a question. Luke's gospel reveals that when John heard in prison what Christ was doing, Christ had raised the son of a widow, Nain, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" A strange question coming from John. I mean, time and time again, we have heard in the gospel and other gospels, John's testimony of John himself proclaiming this Jesus as the Lamb of God. Time and time again, John testified that this Jesus is the Savior, the light of the world. Now he's sitting all alone in a prison cell. John has to be wondering about his preaching, wondering if his message was the message that God wanted. Did he truly open the door for the coming Christ? Is Jesus the Messiah? Kind of odd questions coming from the man who just in last week's scripture was baptizing and blessing Jesus, and he said he knew him. "I am the one who needs to be baptized by you," he says. And where Jesus tells John, it should be done for we must carry out all that God requires. A dove flew down, the Holy Spirit descended, and God says, "This is my dearly beloved son who brings great joy to me." And now John is in prison asking, "Is Jesus the Messiah we've been waiting for?" So John sends his disciples out to come to Jesus and to ask him. Earlier in chapter 10, Jesus had sent out 72 disciples and gave them authority to do power and to do miracles in his name. The disciples returned with great joy because even demons submitted to God's powerful name. Then Jesus spoke the words. Then he turned to the disciples and said privately, "Blessed are your eyes for what you have seen. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you have just seen, but they did not, and to hear what you have heard, but they did not hear it." Certainly the problem was there when Jesus heard the question from John's disciples when they asked, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Were they wondering the same thing that you and I are wondering? Why is John asking such a question? So Jesus addresses theirs and John's concerns as he gives to the crowd this testimony about John the Baptist. Jesus asked them, "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swaying in the wind?" There were reeds all over the place. "What did you go out to see?" In a sense, they went to see John the Baptist. But in the end, it was what they heard that mattered. Jesus continued, "If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No.
Fine clothes are for kings and palaces. John was no king. He worked and lived in the wilderness. So finally Jesus asked one more time, then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. Again, that strange question, what did you go out to see? Jesus uses this rather than what did you go out to hear? You don't necessarily see a prophet, but you will hear a prophet. You can see people who might call themselves prophets, but in the end, it will be a prophet of God that one will hear. Jesus continues his testimony on John the Baptist, and Jesus says to the crowd, this is the one whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, and who will prepare the way before you. Jesus is quoting the prophet Malachi. The prophet Malachi is one of God's Old Testament prophets, and Malachi foretold about a prophet who would come. The prophet is John himself. And even though John sits alone in the prison questioning, he's starting to now doubt himself. How cold and lonely it must have been for John. We're not privy to what his discussions were, any questions he may have asked God. Does John holler and scream? Does he question God? Does he wonder if he did all that he could? Do the guards laugh at him? Laugh at the loudmouth now sitting quietly like a peasant? Where's that Messiah you were blabbering about? Does he ask, if I am the Messiah's forerunner, and Jesus is the Messiah, why am I in prison? Why am I sitting here in prison? We know John's loyalty to God and the coming Messiah, but it seems that John is in need of reassurance and clarification. For John had expected the Messiah to overcome wickedness, to overcome, judge sin, and to bring his glorious kingdom. And John sits there in prison. So Jesus sends out his 12 disciples out, and they go to the God's lost sheep with the authority of Christ. They're casting out evil spirits. They're healing every kind of disease and illness. John is back in prison, and he's hearing all of these things that Jesus and his disciples have been doing. And as he sits, his disciples go back and tell him all that they have heard and all that they have seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured. The deaf hear, the dead are raised to life. And the good news is being preached to the poor. The news to John was clearly an indication that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. At first, this most certainly must have broke his heart. Finally, the Messiah is here and he is on the move. Life is happening. Miracles are happening. Good news is being preached. But he's not part of it. He sits alone, wondering, why am I in prison? But finally, his disciples tell him, Jesus said that you are the man who prepared the way. None is greater than John the Baptist. You are the man. None is greater than you. He must have felt a burst of reassurance and a clear understanding now that his mission was, in fact, completed. And as the darkness starts to fade, you got to feel there's a glow in his heart. It starts to return. You can almost hear him slowly start to preach again from his prison cell. That joy was starting to return, certainly in God's will and use of him in his life. And you can almost hear him say, I'm back. You brood of vipers, you poisonous snakes, you who warned to flee from the wrath, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And he went on and on preaching and preaching. Do we not in many ways, yet different ways, ask questions too, wanting to discuss and debate with God, taking him to task for our lack of understanding? But doesn't Jesus in Matthew 16:8 answer that, O ye of little faith, why reason among yourselves? In Luke 18, 1 through 8, Jesus indicates that people who worry a lot and people who live in fear have little faith. In Matthew 18, Jesus tells us, whoever takes the lowly position of a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Having faith like a child requires putting aside your will and your understanding. This was our opinions and our misconceptions. They don't get in the way of our trusting God wholeheartedly. John's message is about opening our hearts and our minds to the fact that in the person of Jesus the Christ, God has come among us, and he invites you to be a member of his kingdom. It's an awesome message that John proclaims, a message that states that God is acting to redeem us from sin and restore us to a new life in our relationship with God. This is the good news of the people that they came out to hear from John. This is the good news that we proclaim today. It continues on. And yes, it's a message that calls upon us to be honest with ourselves, to take the good look at how we live our lives in the hope that we might repent of our sins in order to embrace God's kingdom with integrity. A famous actor was once a guest of honor at a large social gathering, and he received many requests to recite his favorite excerpts from various literary works. An old preacher in the audience asked the actor to recite the 23rd Psalm. The actor agreed on the condition that the preacher would also recite the 23rd Psalm. The actor's discussion was beautiful. He recited it wonderfully. There were great dramatic pauses and emphasis in which he got lengthy applause. The preacher's voice was cracked, rough, broken from his many years of preaching. And his dictation was anything but polished. However, when he finished, there was not a dry eye in the room. When someone asked the actor later what made the difference, he replied, "I know the song, but he knows the shepherd." For although we are in the midst of preparing to celebrate Christmas and the amazement of incarnation, John reminds us that the true glory of God is not revealed in the Lord's birth, but in Christ's faithfulness to his Father's will. John calls us, as did the people of his day, to open our hearts and prepare to receive God's peace and presence among us in the person of his Son. For it is through Christ's faithfulness of God's will that he endured the pain of the cross and he died, that for forgiveness of our repentant sins, which John preached that muddy Jordan, might be accomplished. So let us not take this call of the Baptist lightly, for it is a timely a message that any of us might hear. And don't be offended by the fact that we are called brood of vipers, for that is what we are. We all need God's grace in order to redeem us from our sins. Thanks be to God for the truth of John the Baptist, who calls us to prepare for God's kingdom. Amen.
Let's pray. Eternal God, our kind Heavenly Father, you are the light of the world. Lord, you came to be a light, to be a beacon, Lord, to show us the way, so that through you, we might have eternal life. Lord God, we thank you that in that burst of light, when you came forth as a baby, Lord, that you made a way for salvation. And as you journeyed, Lord, through your life, and as you went to the cross, Lord God, and as you died and rose again, you made a way triumphant, Lord, so that we could have eternal life with you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for that continuation, Lord, of that story, that you didn't just remain the sweet babe, but you went on, Lord Jesus, to be that triumphant king who made a way for us, Lord God. And we thank you, Jesus, for that. Lord, may we always be mindful of that, and may we do the work that we need to do as your children and as your followers, Lord, that we would live in a way, Father, that is pleasing to you, that we would live in a way that we are mindful of areas in our lives that we need to change, Lord God, that we would be willing to repent and seek forgiveness and extend forgiveness, Lord God. Please help us, Jesus, to live out all that you have shown us to do. Lord Jesus, we are so blessed as your church, Lord God, and as we look forward now to a time when you are taking us, Lord, down a new path, and we have this new search committee, Lord Jesus, that has been formed by your will and by your plan and your design, and we marvel at that, Lord God, and we are so thankful, and we just pray for each member, Lord, of that committee. We ask, Lord God, as they meet together, that there will be cohesion and that they will work well and that they will be guided by you, Lord Jesus, and that you will take us where you want us to go as a church. Father God, we pray also for the members and friends of our church who are struggling this time of year. Lord God, this is a blessed time of year, but it is a reminder that we miss loved ones, that we've gone through times of sorrow and pain. And Lord, we just pray that you will draw near. Your word says that you are close to the brokenhearted, and we claim that, Lord. We need that balm in our souls, Lord, because so many of us have been touched by sorrow or loss or grief. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are the God of all comfort. And Lord, for those in our church who are lonely, for those, Lord, who are ill, Father, I just pray that you will be with Rogene as she is recovering and that you will strengthen her body, Lord God, and strengthen her spirit, that she may know your presence in a powerful way. And I pray for Harriet McClay and the McClay family, Lord, that you will just restore Harriet to health, that you will strengthen her, Lord. Father, there are others in our church who need healing, who need help. And now as we just take a moment to lift those requests to you out loud, hear our prayers, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers that we murmur in our hearts and that we say out loud. We thank you, Father God, that you know us and you love us. Lord, we just ask that you will bless us now for the remainder of our worship. May we be in tune with you. May we be guided by you. And may we take the message that we heard and personalize that, Lord, so that we too can go forth and be the light of the world as you have called us to be. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
We celebrate the joy of Christmas. Let us give back with thanks and joy in our hearts.
Thank you.
Father God, we come here today to worship you, to praise you, to thank you for the many blessings that we have received. We lift up our hearts before you and we pray for this upcoming week. You just guide us and we give you thanks that we are able to give back to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
As we prepare to do the last song, just heads up on the each one of the verses on the fourth and the fifth line, it just slows up a little bit. It's not your traditional "and heaven and nature sing." It kind of slows down a little bit there, just so you guys know. If you know, it just makes it easier. Rejoice in God always, and again I say rejoice, for God has created you with the capacity for joy.
We will find what makes us joyful and make that our gift to the world.
Trust in God's good will for all creation, and open yourself to God's gentle, transforming love.
We will welcome